I want to talk this morning about fighting your battles well. And it's something that we need to get right. It's something that I want to talk to. I don't want to waste a lot of your time this morning. But it's a precious message as God is just bringing it out. And what I am going to do, I'm first going to read it in Afrikaans and then I'll read it in English. But if there's one thing that you must do if you want to win battles, can I tell you a little secret? You must be consistent in the way you fight. Consistency is a prerequisite for fighting. Consistency speaks about a discipline if you want to do things well. You know what? Sometimes I read scripture and then nothing happens. I read it in the morning, I read it in the afternoon, I read it in the evening. I read it the next day, I read it the Thursday, I read it the Friday. Nothing happens. But does that mean that God is not working? No. I stay consistent and focused on what I need to do because Christ, He will open up the solutions. We just stay focused and consistent. Consistent in our friendships. Consistent within our marriage. You tell your wife every day that you love her, even if she says nothing, you tell her that you love her. You stay consistent. You tell your children that you love them, even if they're not lovable, you tell them that. Even if they don't respond the proper way, you stay consistent in the way that you give your love. You stay consistent in the way that you preach. You stay consistent in the way that you connect, even if people are rude, ugly. You stay consistent. You stay meek, you stay gentle, you challenge them, yes. You do have the uncomfortable conversation, but it's the consistency challenge that will push you through. Because what we're busy with, we're not busy with a sprint. We were watching again Usain Bolt. Oh, the man's quick. I don't know if you're watching the Commonwealth Games. Me and my wife, we like to watch sport together. So we were watching the Commonwealth Games and just Jamaica, you know. Man, four of the five fastest guys is on that little island. I don't know how they get it right. But then again, for Kenya, I mean, you only see these guys when they run, but do they have lungs? You don't beat the Kenyans in the 800 meters or the 1.5, you know, these guys from Uganda, Kenya. These guys are serious. But you know what? The consistency with how they do it and the training, it gets them success. So, I want to take us to a portion of scripture where Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy was Paul's spiritual son within the church planting thing. And Timothy had a very big congregation that he had to attend to. And so Paul gives him advice. Paul says, look at Timothy, there's a lot of things that will change in the world, but there's a few things that must stay consistent. And I'm first going to read in Afrikaans. I don't want you to flight it yet. I'm just going to read in Afrikaans. For those of you who wonder if I do have an Afrikaans Bible, I do have one. Dis die 1933-53 ou vertaling. Hy lees lekker. Hy is so groot net die skrif dan die Jenny kan daarvandaan af lees wat hier staan. I just love it. But I'm gonna read to you. It's First Timothy chapter 1 verse 18 to 20, just in Afrikaans, just for all the Afrikaans connoisseurs, just close your eyes and listen to this. Hierdie boodskap vertrou ek aan jou toe, my kind Timotheus. Hoor wat sê hy? Hierdie boodskap vertrou ek aan jou toe, my kind Timotheus. Ooreenkomstig die profesie wat vroeër aangaande jou uitgespreek is, sodat jy daardeur die goeie stryd kan stry en aan die geloof en in 'n goeie gewete vashou. Sommige het dit van hulle weggestoot en aan die geloof skipbreek gelei. Onder wie daar is Himeneus en Alexander, wat ek aan die Satan oorgegee het, sodat hulle kan leer om nie te laster nie. Let's just read in English. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. That's where my sermon's name comes from, fight the battle well. holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. This morning I want to start by talking about Hymenaeus and Alexander. These two chaps. In Afrikaans, die twee jafels. Kom ons praat oor hulle. Let's talk about them. Hymenaeus and Alexander. If you look at them, they actually started their Christian walk in a right way, in a right manner. But you know what? It's not how you start, it's how you end. It's about how consistent you are in your walk with God. And Paul has a very, very, very powerful image. Paul says that their faith was shipwrecked. In other words, they started perfectly, but then shipwreck happened, man. Skibreek gelei hulle geloof. Now, if you've been on a boat, you don't know where you're traveling. Let's be honest. I always get intimidated by the sea for two reasons. The one is I'm not a good swimmer. The second reason I'm intimidated by the sea, it's so big. When you look at it, you just see sea. And when you look a little bit further, you see some more sea. I mean, it's a sea, man. It's sea. So it overwhelms me. And I always wonder, when the ships travel, where do they know where to go? It has everything to do with their radar. And if that radar is not working, they will suffer shipwreck. Now that's what Paul says what happened to him. It's a powerful picture. In other words, Hymenaeus and our friend Alexander, their boat was traveling perfectly well. They were doing the thing that they needed to do, but somewhere along the line, something happened and they went off radar. And you know what? A boat, you don't turn a boat like a car or a bicycle. If you want to turn a boat, it takes time to turn it. And it's something, look at, and the two key things that I want you to see is we should not become complacent in our pursuit of God. Met ander woorde, daar moet geen middelmatigheid wees in ons soeke na die Here nie. Dit kan nie ophou nie. We must be consistent in our pursuit of God, and then we must be careful. Now, why would Paul say such a harsh thing? I gave them over to Satan. Paul is talking here about church discipline. Paul is talking about something that we can't talk about in church anymore because people get offended when we talk about church discipline. But Paul says, look here, I've handed them over to Satan because they must learn something. At this stage in their lives, Timothy, the only way that they will learn is if I hand them over to Satan. It's the only way they will learn. It's the only way that some of us learn. It's the only way that I've learned. I've learned the hard way. You see, if we consistently give over to what Satan says, we've already, by default, given ourselves up to Satan. Now, Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were teachers within the church. Because Paul says they must learn not to blaspheme. And then, if you read the preceding verses, Paul says, Timothy, you must stop these people that is teaching all this bad doctrine. It's not a good thing. Now, that is the introduction to what I would like to share. Paul gives us in the scripture advice on how to keep our ship sailing in the right direction. Because if we do not keep our ship sailing in the right direction, we will suffer shipwreck. We will hit a rock. Are you with me? So it's not all doom and gloom. I'm going to give you some good advice for life, you know. I just want to say, when the Apostle Paul said that he's handed them over to Satan, Paul did not say, I will stop loving them. You know, it's a beautiful picture when Tony Sealy just testified here. There comes a place in any mother's and father's life when you have to release your child. Even if you do not know what's going to happen to them, you must say, God, I'm letting them go. God, I don't know what's going to happen to them, but I must let them go. Does that mean that you stop loving them? No, it doesn't mean that. But I want to give advice to you if you're at that place, you know. Staying on cause. How do we stay on cause? How do you keep your ship from suffering shipwreck? Number one, remind yourself about the things prophesied over you. Look what Paul says. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. So, watch this, that by recalling them you might fight the battle well. Isn't that beautiful? We are in big trouble if we cannot go back to places where people prophesied over us. We are in big trouble if somebody cannot call you my son. Because that means that you're a lone ranger. Ayo, Silver. Lone rangers always suffer shipwreck. You can't sail a boat on your own. When tough times come, you better go back to your spiritual mentors, spiritual fathers. You better go back to that place where your small group laid hands on you and they prayed for you. I love again what Tani Sili said. I told my small group, let's pray for my son. Let's pray for him for a job. You see, when you have to release your boy to Cape Town and you're worried, the only thing that you can hold on to is the prophecies that the small group prayed over them. You can only cling to that. When times are tough, you can only cling to what God has spoken in your heart through other people. There's no way around this one. You can't deny it. You would want to argue with Carlos this morning. You would want to argue with Scripture. But life does not happen outside of healthy Christian biblical relationships. Life doesn't happen that way. If you're a millionaire and you live in an island only with animals, guess what? You're a nothing. You only become a millionaire when you live amongst people. Because then the bank can say, oh, this man's a millionaire, man. Look at this man's bank figures. $3.5 billion. He's a billionaire. He's not a millionaire. Look at his house. But if you're on an island with animals, they're not impressed by your bank balance. They're really not. People will give meaning to your life depending on what your relationship with God is. Listen to what I'm saying. People give meaning to your life depending on how your relationship with God is. And that's what Paul says here. You must have godly biblical friendships. You must have that point of reference where people pray to you. And then I want to go a notch up. You must have a point of reference where leaders, where you have respect for what leaders has prayed over you. I have leaders that pray for me. Just about 2 weeks ago, a week ago, when I was in a tough spot, I just sat Pastor Fred, Pastor Hercules, and I sat Pastor Jan Kor down, and I said, look, you guys, I need 10 minutes of your time. I need to talk with you. I'm in a tough place. Can I talk with you? Yes. And so I just spilled my guts. I said, this is how I'm feeling, this is where I'm at. And then you know what? They just reminded me of what God said. Carlos, can you remember what God said about you? Can you? They just did this principle. But it's a beautiful principle. It's a beautiful place of knowing that there's people that prophesied of you. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. Then you must recall them so that you might fight well. I know there's people here, you really want to be called sons because your father never called you son. But we're going to set the record straight. You're God's son this morning, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to prophesy over you, but you know what? I'm challenging you this morning. If we pray and prophesy over you, we want you to slot into a small group so that we can continue to pray with you, continue to prophesy over you. That's what we want to do. That's our heart. That is how we do discipleship. You know, the two of us were speaking last night. We can count on our fingers the people that had broken relationships, either with their moms or with their dads. They have broken relationships with their leaders and their bosses. It's a pattern that we see in people's lives. I was telling her, why is God so tense about obeying your parents? Obey your parents. I mean, in the Old Testament, Scripture says that if a boy is rebellious or a girl and is a disgrace to your parents, take him outside and stone him to death. And I'm thinking, God, you're a bit tense, man. You're tense. And then Scripture says, if any boy or girl just disrespects their father, their lamp will be put out into darkness. And then the Apostle Paul says, with all the lists in Romans chapter 1, with the ungodly and the homosexuals, be obedient to your parents. And then Paul says again, be obedient to your parents. And then in Colossians, he says, why? I'll tell you why. That is where the root of rebellion starts. Tani Shirley's no blay. Ek preek no. So lekker vir Tani Shirley, jong. Tani Colin met wir. Now, Colin, we know that you're an obedient child. We do know that. You know, so guys and girls, this is a thing where people learn to receive. You see, Hercules, if I read this scripture, Hercules is not my friend. He's my pastor. And then after that, he's my friend. Your mom and your dad can't be your friend. They're first your mom and your dad. Then they can become your friend. But if that relationship is skewed, you will never be able to receive the prophecies that they prayed over you. Does it make sense what I'm explaining to you this morning? There's a familiarity that breaks this thing into pieces. But God is a God that wants to restore it. Because do you know what blessing lies there for you if you get this thing in your heart right? You might fight the battle well. Then you will stop seeing all the negative things. You'll see the things that has been spoken over your life if you're willing to open up to receive it. Are you with me? Ashilamit mai. What is the second thing that Paul says? Stay true to your faith. Holding on to your faith. What Paul is telling Timothy is, Timothy, you must have a relationship with Scripture. Scripture must be the guiding force in your life, and that is why I really am challenging you as a congregation and as a visitor, please do Bible school. It will change your life. It will. Because there you will learn from Christ. You must get deeper into the Word, and we will share tips and tricks with you of how you can grow in your relationship with Scripture. it just opens up a whole new world. And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to remember this. Let your life be guided and guarded through Scripture. A relationship with living Scripture. That if you get angry, Scripture will remind you, don't sin. If somebody hurts you, Scripture will remind you, you must forgive. If somebody sins, that you must remind yourself that we must love one another as Christ has loved us. If somebody sins, that Scripture says in Matthew chapter 18, go to him and tell the brother about his sins. If he does not listen, take a witness with. If he does not listen, let the congregation know about it. You with me? Scripture must be our moral compass. Does it make sense now why these two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, suffered shipwrecked? They did not listen to Scripture, the compass of Scripture. Scripture told them, Hymenaeus, Alexander, not this way, but they said, no, we're not going to listen to Scripture. We're going to listen to the book of Hymenaeus and the book of Alexander. You know, when we get stupid, we go to the book of Carlos and we try to impress people with the book of Carlos instead of Scripture. You see, the Bible is only a book. Scripture changes your life. That book is in so many people's houses and homes. But does it change people? No. Until you have a relationship with Scripture, you can smell it, you can taste it, then Scripture changes your life. Then the other thing that you must do, stay true to your conscience. Because Paul says, stay true to your faith and a what conscience? A good conscience. Your good conscience, your conscience is that part that convicts you what is right and what is wrong. Ons noem dit jou gewete. Jou gewete sê mos vir jou, luister, hierdie ding my nou aanvang as jy reg hier. Ons ken mos gewete, né? Maar het jy geweet jy kan jou gewete verhard? Dan luister jy nie meer na jou gewete toe, né? You know how it works. It's like buying Coke at this shop, and as you walk, your eye just catches the glimpse of this porn magazine. And then you just look, but you buy the Coke. Now you know your conscience tells you, don't buy Coke there anymore, because the magazines are there. But no, I'm so thirsty. I must buy myself another Coke. And then you look a little bit longer at the magazines and all those ladies on the Sports Illustrated. And then you see the girl's name, Kelly McGillis. And then you go on Facebook and then you type in on Facebook, Kelly McGillis, and push, there she is. Now, no, I'm only scrolling a profile, duh. I'm just looking through a profile at what school she was. You see, you're reasoning with your conscience. But now as you type in Kelly, a lot of other Kellys pops up. And as you're looking, now you see this Kelly is posing in this way and this Kelly is posing in this way. And then, okay, I'll go to this Kelly in Brazil. Why? Because it's the World Cup, man. I just want to see. You start reasoning with your conscience. Now you go in there. Then you get lost. Because now this Kelly is naked. She's posting pictures of herself. And then it doesn't satisfy you anymore. Then you must go for the real deal. Now you get to your friends. Now you get to small group. Now you meet other women and you look at them differently. You look at the way they dress and you lust after them. Your conscience. Your conscience is that place. It's that place for me where you must decide between what is right and what is wrong. And that is exactly why Hymenaeus and Alexander suffered shipwreck. because their moral compass was offline. And they went astray. And so, we must learn the ability to discern that which is right and wrong within our conscience. You know when you go into a room, when you're angry with somebody and you don't greet them. Can I get an amen? Dan jy in a kamer en stap en jy's net dik bek vir die een. And I'll greet everybody, but I won't greet her. Jy weet wanneer jy doen. You know when you're doing it. You know, we know when we withhold honor and our conscience tells us what you're doing is wrong. You're withholding honor from somebody in this room. You're treating somebody with contempt and disrespect. Don't do it. Your conscience tells you that. You know, if you leave that thing unchecked, it will become murder within your heart. I was telling the guys this morning, you know the story of Cain and Abel? Just before Cain murdered his brother, what did God do? God visited the man. God said, listen, your brother, sin is knocking at your door. I see that you want to kill your brother. All that I'm saying is you must rule over it. He didn't rule over it. He killed his brother. That's why Jesus says, don't even become angry in an unrighteous way, because it's the same as murder. Because we go over the authority of our conscience. And Paul says it must be good. And a good conscience, it really helps us to keep us focused, to keep our eyes on the prize. It teaches us how to fight the battle well. Oh, how lovely is it when we're obedient to that. And then Paul gives in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, this picture of fighting. He says the following, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've remained faithful. Paul says, just skip, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. The first thing that Paul just says there is, look here, I fight. Just go, I fight, I have fought. I have fought the good fight. Paul fights against temptation. Paul fights against sin. Paul fights against evil. It's a constant fight. But you need to stay true to Scripture. You need to be reminded about the things that's prophesied over you. You need to have a good conscience to continue to fight. Fight. I want to challenge some of you that's going through tough times with relationships. Fight. I want you to continue to fight. Fight it. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Get up. Fight. Fight sin. Fight temptation. Be wise in how you fight. The second thing Paul says, I have finished the race. Paul says, I have finished the race in spite of persecution, in spite of hardships, in spite of people criticizing me, in spite of people deserting me. I will finish this race. I will. Do I have people around me to support me? There's nobody to support me, but I'll keep on. Do I have a lot of people criticizing me? I have a lot of people criticizing me, but I will continue. But you know, it's very important that you first fight the sin. Because sometimes the critics are not sinners. And sometimes the critique is not critique. It's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. So you first fight the sin. You first fight the temptation. You first fight the evil. Then you finish. Even if people persecute you. Even if there's hardship. Jy staan uit soos 'n seer vingertjie. Want jy is al een wat by die werk nie vir jou dik dronk drinkie. En almal lag vir jou uit. En hulle het lelike goed om oor jou te sê, but you stay true, you fight it. You don't have to get drunk to enjoy yourselves. You don't have to get stupid and dance on tables. As a Christian, I've danced on tables just to have fun. But I wasn't drunk. I was sober. And for some of you that are wondering, I can move. I can dance. I wasn't sinning. I was just enjoying myself. But you don't need to get drunk to enjoy yourself. Scripture says, don't get drunk with wine. Criticism, desertion, my friends. Sometimes it's so lonely, it feels like people have deserted you. You're just standing alone, but Paul says, keep on. Then Paul says, I've kept the faith. Paul says, I've remained faithful. I constantly support and I'm constantly loyal to the cause of Christ. I'm constantly loyal to Jesus and what Jesus said. I'm constantly loyal to the church and where the church is going. I stay loyal. I've been faithful. And then Paul says something beautiful. Flight that last part. There's a prize that awaits me. Wow. The ship is sailing. We're sailing to our prize. The crown of righteousness, man. There's going to be a day that in what I was accountable to, God's going to tell me, you well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm saying this with a smile because I'm looking forward to it. I really want that crown. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I'm not interested in the compliments of men. I'm not interested in flattery. I ask God every day, God, whenever I get to that place of where I need the approval of men more than your approval, please convict me. And God convicts me regularly. Because you know what? I sin in this area. I'm honest about it. Wanting the approval of men sometimes and just wanting people to say that you're okay. But you know what? Then God says, Carlos, is this about being okay with people or about staying truth to Scripture? And Jesus said it so beautifully. He said, they have their reward. All the compliments, there is their reward. But if you want life, if you want a reward, it's in heaven. And then, watch this. I want you to get excited. Maybe some of you didn't see it. Marshall, Gafta, we're going to hear my bro. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Now, isn't that a beautiful promise? Isn't that a beautiful promise? Sometimes I get so tired of just fighting. I don't know about you guys. It's a fight every day. You fight for your life. You fight to get up out of bed. Thinking, God, really? But then you run to Scripture. You read Psalms. The last 10 Psalms from 140 till 50 about praising God. And then you learn to be thankful. Thankful for your wife. Thankful for your children. Just a life of thankfulness. And then you get to your job and then there's that one guy, he always irritates you. And he's always rude. Obnoxious. And then he wants to destroy that place, that secret place of safety. And he's like, God, as I know in it said, and we take one to honey tea. Ek kan hom skiet laat die sakkie hier vassit. I really want to do it, God. And then you walk in the mall and then you meet all the people that wants to greet you and you don't want to greet them. You just want to be. Can't the people just leave me alone today? But you know what? Then they always meet you. So how are you? Nice shoes. Then you think, God, I need time alone. But you know what? If we fight well, that day when God appears, He will be there with our reward. Band, would you please come? As we're going to end off this morning, I'm just going to end off there. There's lots to say. I want to speak to the guys and the girls that has a broken relationship with their parents. And what's happening is because you have a broken relationship with your parents or your mother or your father, you are just transferring it to other leadership. And you see it as something negative. I want to talk to you this morning. I really want you to hear Christ saying, "You're my son." Are you with me? I'm talking about that thing in your heart that does not connect with the prophecies that was made over you. Maybe somebody has never prophesied over you in your home. Did you know what? It's your parents' responsibility to put you down, put your hands on you, and prophesy over you. Maybe you've never had that. Well, this morning we want to prophesy over you. We want to remind you. And you know what a prophet does? A prophet's not somebody special. A prophet can only say what God has already said about you. So when we're going to prophesy over you, we're just going to say what God thinks of you. Not what we think of you. Alvin, would you like to come? Jan, would you please come? Stand here for me. Please come. Danny Silly, would you please come this side, guys? Jammer man, ek. This side, Alvin. Just stand this side. Danny Silly, would you please come? Danny Jenny. Elmarie, would you please stand here? I want to make it easy for you if you're struggling to connect either with your father or your mother. Because just write that scripture again, the first one, Lola, please. In keeping with the prophecy, Timothy, my son. It could be Geraldo, my son. Lola, my daughter. I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies, one that you may recall him. Maybe you don't have any prophecies that you can recall, but you desperately need a word of life. You know how it works. Money doesn't help. Vakansie help ook nie. Jy het hy woord nodig, hy woord. Net hy woord dat dit nogal right is. Ek is op pad. Now, what they represent here this morning, I picked them just to make it easy. They represent, and I can tell you why, because they really pray for people. They really do. It's not that you don't pray for people, please. This is to make it easy for those who doesn't have a point of reference. If you want that prophecy over you, I want you to walk to them. They're going to lay hands on you this morning. They're going to prophesy over you. If you have a broken relationship with your mother or your father, or you had a broken relationship with somebody in a spiritual sense, I want you to come with them. They're going to lay hands on you. Ek meen julle kan nie vir tannie Silly deny nie. I fucking bid. Nou, Tannie Silie Stiep is een van die tannies wat mense so in kerk so vinnig miskyk. Ach, is Tannie Silie, oulike, lieflike vroukie. But you know what? How she prophesied. Her son, I would like to have coffee with him. You know what I would like to do? I would tell him, did you know how your mother prayed for you? You know when things get tough, I want you to recall the prophecies your mom made over you, over the mountains, from the north to the south, to the east, to the west. You're a blessed boy. You're a blessed boy. Did you know that? Oh, jy moet jou bors uitsit as jy jou mama sien, papaitjie, stoot hom uit. You have a good mother that prays for you, that prophesies over you. You know, sometimes I get so frustrated because so many people in their 14, 13s, in their teens from 13 to 30s, they're just so unthankful. Undankbar. For the people that God has placed around them and people that's really praying for them, people really loving them. I want to challenge you. You are called millennials. All you millennials, be thankful. Be thankful. Christ has placed precious people over you. And you know what? Even if you're in your 50s, in your 60s, and you haven't had any prophecy over you, Esther, will you also come and stand here and pray? Come, Esther. Julle moenie hoor hoe bid die mense. Ek het hulle nou weer so paar keer hoor bid. Ek sidder as ek hoor hoe hulle bid. Yes, like it. Dis nie van myne en myne nie. Hulle gooi, man. And please, if I've not called you forward, if you're sitting there and you're feeling offended, why is Carlos not choosing me? Please, just check your spirit. Please check your spirit. I'm sensing that within my spirit. Check your spirit. Another lady that really just does it beautifully, Serena. She really prays, you know. And guys, please, don't go out of your thinking that I favor them. It's just, this is not about them. This is about the people struggling that's struggling to connect. So if that is you this morning, I want you to come to them. Just come. If you need that prophecy over your life, I know it's a big step. Ek weet julle, dis 'n groot om voor almal nou op te staan. But I want you to fight the good fight. Fight the enemy. Miskien moet ek julle net ietsie vertel, 'n grappie om dit ligter te maak. Julle weet dokter soos Pietman se vrou daar. Sy's nou al dokter, né? Maar ek, die een dokter vertel my eendag, hy wil nie meer vir die mense sê hy's 'n dokter nie, want as hy nou vir die, dan kom almal altyd met hulle kwale na hom toe, by die partytjie. Waar is die storie wat ek nou vertel, nê? Toe kom haar oom na hom toe, so 85. Toe oom sê, dokter, jonge, kyk hier, dis nog my eie tanden, maar laat hulle so geel. Wat kan ek nou in die kwaal doen? Toe sê die dokter, vir man trek 'n breindassa by aan. Now that you're much calmer, if you want the prophecy of your life, I want you to come. Come, I want you to come. Serena, would you come? Please come stand here. Ladies with ladies, men with men. That's right. Ladies with ladies, men with men. We're going to pray over you. The second thing, just flight again. If you've not been listening to your conscience, your gewete, if you've not been listening to your conscience, in other words, your conscience is seared. Dit voel vir jou, jou gewete en jou hart word hard. I also want you to come and I want to trust God that He will change it. God must come. He must soften it. He must soften it. Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. It's so, so evil. It's so bad. Hardness of heart just breaks relationships. You can't come to that place of fullness in relationship with people. Are you with me? We're following this thing. We're going to pray. We're going to trust God to come. And then, if scripture doesn't make sense to you, in other words, jy lees die Bybel keer op keer op keer. Wat gaat mense so aan oor die boek? Die boek, ek lees. If scripture doesn't make sense to you, we want to pray with you. But then most important, if we can close our eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I pray, God, for the salvation of souls, people meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it's about.